power of love, and I could hear someone actually knew the words. I don't think it was Chris's ghost. But I could hear it. So that was wonderful. Thank you. And so I'll just invite us. You know, the power of love. It's right where we are. It's right where we are. It's in us. It's through us. It's as us. It's revealed to us. And it's revealed by us. It's really an exquisite thing. So our inquiry today is about our power with that thing called love, which is that thing called life, which is that thing called Spirit, God, the Almighty, whatever holy name you have for it, and what's our relationship with it. So what I want us to know is that we are always deepening our connection with life. And it's a combination, I find, of releasing my belief in separation and reestablishing or deepening my connection, my unity with God, with life. And it's that combination. It's that letting go and taking in that we're diving into today. So, and you might, like I do, respond with a very matter of fact, well, I'm either connected or I'm not connected. Statement, belief, idea. And then you might follow that, as I do, with, and I know I'm always connected, Patty. But we don't always feel it, do we? Sometimes, even though up here we know it's true, our experience says otherwise. So that's what we want to look into. Because if you're a person who always, consistently, completely to the entirety of your being knows that, then there's still more. So even for the masters and the gurus, there's still more. So the way I look at it is we live a life of discovery. That's why there's always more. That we live a life of discovery and inquiry. And if it is a power outage that I'm experiencing, and with that, I'll just stop and say, oh my goodness, all of the people who have experienced true power outages in the physical world this week, our hearts are with you, our prayers are with you. But if we're experiencing that power outage of our beingness, if we're experiencing that power outage, what is that about? What do we need to do to look at that, to examine it, to restore it? And is it a matter of it being a power outage, or is it a matter of that we're de-energized? And what is that lies in between? Is it a connection that's loose, that can be easily reestablished, or is a deep dive needed? So I know just about this much about power. My husband, he's an expert on it. I mean, truly, he's an expert on it. But I happen to know from watching him last night as we were working on reestablishing power to one of the lights out here, that he had to get the right wires connected. And that until those two wires were connected, there was no power going from the power source to the light. Now he knew. He knew which two wires needed to be connected. But if it had been me, I would have been looking at those wires and saying, they all look good. I'm going to try this one. Maybe it'll work. Maybe I'll get electrocuted. That's why I don't mess with that power. But my point is that until we know what we're looking at and what we're working with, we're really fumbling. And so we continue to understand how this thing called power works. We continue to understand how love and light work together, and peace and love work together. And what's that connection between anger and love. And what is that? And what's that making? And what am I learning about it? So we mostly learn about our power, our inside power, by looking at our feelings. Now, sometimes we just don't want to go there, you know, especially those feelings that don't feel good. And we have been trained, we have been well trained, we have been so well trained to only feel good, to only choose the good, to only allow good feelings into our life and into our vibration. And while that's very true, there is a time and there is a place to demystify the feeling of anger, the feeling of sadness, the feeling of, you name it, whatever it is for you. And it's in demystifying it that we find we restore our power, our connection. So what are these feelings and how are they directed at ourselves or another person or a group? That's part of what we're looking at. And I came across this great example, what I thought was a story of the superpower of love. And I'll share it with you. It's quite short. It's the story of a wife who comes to her doctor's office. And we'll call him for the sake of it, Dr. Smith. And, you know, she was really full of hatred and anger towards her spouse. And she said to the doctor, "I don't just want to get rid of him. I want to get even. Before I get divorced, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me." Okay, not good feelings. But here's what he said to her. He said, "Well, here's what I want you to do. Conspiratorially. Go home and act as if you really love your husband. I want you to just tell him how much he means to you, praise him for every decent trait that he has, be kind, be considerate as much as you can, and just as generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him and make him believe you love him. And after you've convinced him of your undying love, and that you cannot live without him, and then, you know, go ahead and drop the bomb." And she thought this was a brilliant idea. She thought it was brilliant. Oh yeah, that'll really get him. So she leaves, says thank you to the doctor, goes home, and he doesn't hear back from her. What a surprise. So he calls her up. He says, "Hey, what happened? Are you still going through with your divorce?" And she says, "Oh my gosh, no, why would I want to do that? I love this guy." Who did she convince of her love? She convinced herself. She said, "I love." She met her words with her actions and acted upon them, behaved accordingly, and look what demonstrated in her life. A loving, kind, generous, beautiful relationship. Now, it isn't always a storybook like that, but sometimes it is. And what I want us to realize in that is the power of our word, that how we connect with each other, how we connect with each other is what is setting in place our experience of each other. If I walk around and I'm talking about how much the person annoys me, what am I going to get? All I'm going to see is exactly what I'm putting out there. If I can be willing, and it's wise to say, let it be with me according to my word, and my word is the word of love, my word is wholeness, my word is us, then, maybe there's something else here. So, in order to demystify this disconnect, I find that a good question to ask ourselves is, how is my trust level? And I'm not talking about, are they trustworthy? I'm talking about, how is my trust level? Am I trusting? And I'm not talking about just trusting them. I'm talking about trusting it. Wherever you want to look to find it, up or down or around or inside, how is my trust level of it? That infinite power, that creative intelligence, that divine mind, how am I trusting it? Am I trusting it to show up in me and through me and as me and to lift this relationship up? Or am I not? I've said it before and I'm going to keep saying it, and we're going to keep on diving into it in various ways from different places. Trust is not to be earned. Trust is given. Trust is. It simply is. And as soon as I stopped saying, oh, you must earn my trust, it freed me to look at, well, what's my trust level? And what am I trusting in? Am I trusting in the evidence out here? Well, sometimes it makes sense to, right? But I'm talking about, you know, that infinite indwelling power that is God. And that has everything to do with, am I trusting it? That mighty moving power that is love, that is beyond all. How am I doing with that? So, there will be more of it. So, along with trust, usually, often, many times, we will find that we find ourselves in a position of forgiveness. And I find forgiveness to be one of those ways that we connect. If I'm disconnected, then... And my trust is not working, then what I might do, one of those tools that I'm going to use, is forgiveness. Nod your head if you're with me. And I know we've all been given various tools of trust. But I had a great conversation with someone this week that really made me think about, I've done my trust, or I've renewed my trust, I've done my forgiveness, so why is this still coming up? And I really am finding that in the midst of forgiveness, I need to keep reminding myself that I've reconnected. And that I don't have to keep checking the connection every time to make sure I'm connected, because I am connected. And now I get to match my behavior to that level of trust, to that level of forgiveness that I have initiated. Sometimes it's so quick and it's so fast and it's never looking back. But oftentimes we feel that shift in gradual movement. We find that it's this movement that comes upon us. I've been saying it for a while, the shift is upon me. But it's upon me. That means I'm still feeling it, I'm still recognizing it, I'm still experiencing it. And it's that way oftentimes with forgiveness. The forgiveness is upon me. And some of the ways that we can anchor it and strengthen it and deepen it is to remind ourselves when we're in that experience to say, oh, not to minimize it, but oh, but wait, I did my work. Wait, let me check in. Let me be curious. Is this an old story just coming up on an automatic repeat? Because if it is, I have a new story. I have a new story. I have a new awareness. I have a new understanding of my connection with life, and it no longer harbors space for resentment. It's no longer harboring space for disappointment and blame. Instead, I have a greater awareness, and I am mindfully and intentionally reminding myself of that over and over and over again until it lives in me no more. And it could be as fast as that, and it could be a process or a journey. Don't be dissuaded by having to return to it again. So... I think everyone that knows me knows how much I like talking about love and how much I enjoy a good love story. And it occurred to me that I wonder, have you stopped engaging in love seriously? Because it's talked about a lot. Because it is. It's in movies and stories and books and music and that's just everywhere. Stories of love, love stories. And have we become a little jaded with it? Have we become a little bit like, it's just love? I hope not. Because love is the greatest power. It is the power. And what we can learn in those sappy love stories is that not just that there's a happy ending, it's that there's a disconnect. At some point in that sappy story, there's a disconnect. Sometimes it's really big, and sometimes it's really small. My curiosity, my interest in engaging and in observing that story, whether it's out here or with somebody that I'm interacting with myself, is what's it going to take to reconnect? Do they reconnect? Do we reconnect? Is there a reconnection with love? Is there a reconnection with faith and hope and trust and beauty and kindness? And what's the journey to get there? Because every time I watch one of those or I hear one of those or I experience one of those, then I learn a little bit more about how to reconnect when I disconnect, when my disconnection is happening. Now, sometimes the disconnect is for a reason, because there's another path to take. But we don't know until we explore, until we start saying, well, what's this about? And what's this about? And we allow ourselves to engage and make those connections and allow ourselves to play. So what if the connection switch to our power doesn't lie out here, but it lies within? As it does. We know that, yes? It lies within us. So, looking out here for that switch isn't going to work. The switch is in here. We connect out here. We connect in here. It's just a big circuit board of connecting. And what are we connecting with? And so those disruptions, those interruptions to our connections, I think a big one that we could name is called ego. And the ego often becomes this explosion of breakup and disconnect and not happening. And I think that we have to learn to not just step away from the ego, but to bring the ego up close and personal to the disconnect so that we can learn from it, so that we can allow it to lead us to the greater idea that is unfolding. I can't remember the name. I'm sorry, I don't have it. But he wrote in the book of the Teachings of Love, the ego is often described as an obstacle to overcome, but it is also a blessing, for it lifts us up. It causes us to want more, a greater freedom, a greater love, a healthy ego leads us to want to offer ourselves to something higher and something greater. So when we're in that disconnect, when we're in that interruption of the ego, rather than fighting it and resisting it and denying it, what is it lifting us up to? What is the greater vibration? What is the higher idea that it is offering? We want to watch to find out how the break will be fixed, how the break will be restored, how it will allow us to know truth and God in a greater way so that we can be free. So I know that we want that power of freedom, of love, of truth, of wholeness. But my question is why do we think that we don't have it? Why are there so many books about restoring our power? Why am I talking about restoring a power that can never not be? Well, we got to start where we are. And maybe what we're learning by all of these messages and all of these questions about how do I restore it is we're learning that it's there already. And how do I activate it? And how do I let it activate me? So James Dillett Freeman wrote a beautiful poem. It is a little bit long, but not too long for you. And it's yummy. You ready? I said to the master, "How do I turn on the power of good, of God?" The master said, "How did you turn it off?" And then I saw that if the power of God should be turned off even for a moment, the universe would crash to an end and crumble into nothingness. The power of God does that work in every atom. The power of God is at work in every mind. The power of God is at work in you. Night and day, pouring forth power, sending power surging through every trembling wire. The dynamos are at work in a city, within a city, whether a city wakes or sleeps. And here's what I want us to know. Night and day, the power of God is at work, whether or not, whether you turn it on or not, whether you are awake to it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you invite it in or not, the power is at work, and it is at work in you. You can refuse to use the power consciously, and that is all. But always, when you refuse to use the power consciously, the power may unconsciously use you. The power of God presses at every point of being, waiting to be drawn forth. How do you draw it forth? Is it not the best way to let it draw you forth? For you can use the power of God to the extent of your capacity. But God uses you to the extent of its capacity. Okay, we just got to pause on that one for a minute. I know we're all doing our best. We're all doing our best to know this power and to use it for good and to bring love and light into the world. And sometimes we're really digging in. Okay, I can do this better. But what if we were to relax and not just try to use the power, but to let that power use us? Just imagine the freedom of letting go, of trying to make the power work, of trying to find the power, of trying to connect it, and letting it move us. That is a pure surrender. And that is why we continuously come back to the question over and over and over again, so that we can let go a little more and a little more and a little more, and let Spirit have its way with us. The last two lines of this beautiful writing from James Dillett Freeman. Your wisdom is limited, but God's wisdom has no limits. So when you let God use you as God finds good, who can foresee what good will be brought forth? So our job is to unify with love. To unify with that great, exquisite, beautiful power over and over and over again in all of the ways that we can, and to find new ways and to look for more connections, to look for what builds that vibration within us so that we can surrender to it in greater and greater ways. So this week, let us continue to